Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is a curious title. And to find out what it's about, you're going to have to follow the sermon. How about that? Our title this morning is The Cheeseburger Bill. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 13, which we read for you, finding our theme in verse 3, where Jesus said, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." In June 2002, a man named Caesar Barber filed lawsuits against 4 fast food restaurants: McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King's, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mr. Barber claims that they sold him the food that made him overweight to the point of being obese. And he sued them, and I quote, "They should be held accountable for wrecking my life," said Mr. Barber. Now, Gregory Rimes and 8 other overweight New York City children, with the help of their lawyer, also filed a lawsuit against McDonald's. In a publication called the American Capitalist Magazine, their lawyer says they're filing a lawsuit against McDonald's because people are too dumb to know what's good for them. And they're overweight, and it's McDonald's fault. The article went on to say that some claim McDonald's has an obligation to let people know their food is unhealthy for them. What are you going to do, Don? You live on McDonald's. But in this same article, a woman by the name of Stella Liebeck is quoted. You might remember her. She sued McDonald's because she burnt the inside of her legs driving her car with a cup of McDonald's hot coffee between them, trying to get the lid up. And by driving her car, she burnt her legs, and she sued McDonald's, quote, "It's their fault," she says, "because the coffee was too hot." Now, because of such, "it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault" lawsuits, believe it or not, lawmakers in the USA brought a bill to Congress. A bill is a new law that's hoped to be introduced into the American legal system. This bill was entitled, somewhat humorously, The Cheeseburger Bill. Now, it didn't pass, or it didn't become a binding law, probably because how ridiculous the issue is. But the principles behind this bill are very important. And here are the 2 key principles. People should take responsibility for their own actions. Secondly, we cannot keep blaming others for the choices we make. Did you realize this idea is one even in the pages of Holy Scripture? From Ezekiel chapter 18, listen carefully to this Hebrew parable, but you'll get the picture. "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers ate the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine, says the Lord, the soul of the father and the soul of the son. And the soul that sins, it shall surely die." What this passage is saying is this: a child can't blame its parents for the bad things he does. A person can't shift the blame to somebody else for the bad choices they make. God expects all people to take responsibility for their own actions. In the Christian church, we're now in the season of Lent. The theme of Lent tells us all the same thing. We have sinned. We need to repent. We can't put the blame on others. It's time for each of us to take personal responsibility and to turn to our merciful God for forgiveness. And Jesus says much the same thing in today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. Listen again to the verses. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the rest because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed, do you think they were worse offenders than everybody else who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Some very bad things had happened in the area where Jesus was. A political leader working for the Roman government had put to death some Jewish worshipers when they were at worship. He was the same political leader who also signed the okay to crucify Jesus, Pontius Pilate. And then, right after that, a stone tower fell upon some people and killed them. Now, in response to both of these tragedies, the common saying at Jesus' time went like this: "Well, what do you think about those people who were killed? Boy, oh boy, they must have done something bad to deserve what they got. They must have been worse sinners than me. Glad I'm not at fault for anything." That'd be like some of us saying today things like this: "Boy, I'm sure glad I don't live in Chile. They must be awful. I'm glad I'm so good and don't live there." And what's Jesus' response to the comments of the people of his day? Two times. In these short five verses, he says the same thing. Listen again. He says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." Jesus is telling the people of his day and us today, when bad things happen in the lives of others, don't waste your time blaming other people or congratulating yourself for escaping trouble. Instead, when tragedies happen in the world, we are to be reminded of our own sin and our own need to get right with God. Tragedy should lead us to repentance and taking personal responsibility for what we do, and then turning to God for His mercy and His compassion, not shifting the blame to somebody else. In this text, it's a hard gospel reading for this morning. Jesus requires us to face the truth about ourselves. We are sinners. We're responsible for the choices we make. Maybe he had in mind that passage from Ezekiel 18, "The soul that sins shall surely die." Yet we continue to try to find blame and fault anywhere else except in ourselves. The fast food restaurant made me eat their cheeseburgers and get overweight. The coffee they sold me was too hot. That's why I burnt myself driving my car with a cup between my legs. The fathers ate the sour grapes, and that's why the children's teeth are set on edge. Oh, those people killed by Pilate, or that stone tower, it must have been their fault. It can never be mine. When Jesus' listeners wanted to point at other people, Jesus pointed at repentance. It's as if he's saying, when bad things happen, your responsibility is not to find others to blame. Your responsibility is to repent. What God calls for in our text today is a 180 degrees turning around. That's what repentance means in the scriptures, the Greek word metanoia, to turn completely around, to turn from our sin, and to turn to Him. The season of Lent, which is the season of the church year we're in right now, the holy time of preparation for Easter, is a time for repentance. God wants us to turn. He calls us to turn from our sins back to Himself. My friends, God wants us to return to Him. God wants us to come back home. And if we don't, or if a loved one or friend of ours will not, here's some good news. God will be patient because God specializes in second chances. Did you listen to the second half of the gospel reading, the parable of the fig tree? Listen again. The theme of that parable is a God of second chances. Listen again. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit from this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? But then the servant answered him and said, sir, please, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and water it and put on its manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. This is a simple parable, Jesus tells, but a very important one. The owner of a fruit orchard had a fig tree that's not bearing any fruit. So he commands his servant to cut it down. It's wasting space. But the servant pleads for mercy and tells the owner that he himself will take care of this tree. He will intercede between the owner's rightful judgment of cutting it down and the tree's need to live. He will water it. He will put manure upon it. He will care for it. And then what happens? The owner of the vineyard relents from cutting down the tree because the servant asked for a second chance. When Almighty God calls us today to bear the fruits of repentance, He expects repentance. My friends, our sin and our lack of repentance is serious business. God has every right to bring His righteous judgment against us. As the text from Ezekiel said, the soul that sins shall surely die. And if we got what we deserve because of our sin, if we got what we deserve because of our rebellion, we would get God's judgment and punishment of death. But now watch where I'm pointing. But a servant comes to our rescue. This servant is our dear and precious Lord Jesus Christ. He puts Himself between God's judgment and our sin. He pleads for us. And because precious our Lord Jesus intercedes for us, we don't get what we deserve: God's judgment and punishment. But Jesus does even more than just pleads for us. Our Lord Jesus takes upon Himself the punishment we deserve. Listen to these texts. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does this mean? The holy, righteous, sinless Jesus took upon himself our sin, took upon himself God's judgment for our sin, died for our sin, and in exchange, what do we get? His holiness, his righteousness. Now, that's quite an exchange. And we, my friends, certainly got the best end of that exchange and that deal. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Hung on a tree is a biblical expression for being crucified on the wooden tree of a cross. This passage that Jesus Christ tells us, Jesus Christ allowed himself to be cursed and judged on the cross for the sins that we've committed. Did you catch it? He was cursed. He was judged for what we did. In response to that, we should cry out that most common cry by youth and teenagers when things don't go the way they think they should go. It's not fair. Well, you know what? It's not fair. It's mercy. And there's a big difference. If it were only fair, we would get what we deserved. But because it's mercy, our Lord Jesus took your punishment and took mine. For him, it was not fair. For us, it was mercy because he loved us so. So, if you ever hear someone say these words to you, and we've heard him from time to time, God's not fair, then I would invite you to say, no, God is not fair. God is merciful. And there's a big difference. And that's good news for sinners like you and me. Romans 5:6-8 says this: You see, at just the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you catch it? Here we go again. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of his Heavenly Father, died for our sins. We were helpless. He came to help. We were lost sinners. He came to seek and save those who were lost. Now, what do you say and do to a Savior like that? I suggest, for starters, these things. Number one, you repent of your sin. Number two, you take personal responsibility and don't shift the blame on others. And we all remove from our vocabulary such statements like this: their cheeseburger made me overweight. Their coffee was too hot and burned me. The fathers ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. They must be bad sinners, but not me, from the tower to fall upon them or Pilate to slay them. Well, I sin and make bad choices because somebody else made me do it. Let's take those statements out of our vocabulary and instead, let's give thanks to God for his mercy, for sinners like you and like me, his mercy that came in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you and for the sins of the world. And then, God help us that we might show mercy and forgiveness to other sinners, always bringing them with us to the foot of the cross of Jesus. As the psalmist says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Next time you have a cheeseburger, remember God's mercy for sinners like you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.